Welcome to the Once Upon an Island Survivor Winner Analysis Podcast for the pre-merge of Survivor 43. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I'm joined by my Winner Analysis co-host,
Rebecca.
And today, as I said, we're talking about Winner Analysis. We're doing every single player, all 13 of them. We're going to go alphabetical order, but Rebecca, we have not heard from you since week one, so... Yeah. It's been a while.
Hello.
As Stained would say.
It's been a minute. Yeah.
What are the words I look for here? Why was Lindsay voted out?
That's a really good question. I think obviously just like paranoia, but I was telling you this a little bit before we started recording, but yeah, I think it's just so unfortunate. Like the blue tribe was doing so well until they had to go to tribal council, and that just like really shattered the tribe, and I don't know, it's unfortunate. Yeah, I think they talked about it in last night's episode. You know, they had momentum, and then when they started losing, they just lost all momentum, and now they've lost twice, they've lost two players, and I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Do you believe Ryan when he says he threw the challenge last night?
I don't know if I do. Ryan, I don't know, Ryan is like, I feel like he thinks he's a lot more slick than he actually is. Like, he thinks yes. that he has this great strategy and that he's fooling everyone, but in reality, he's fooling no one. And so it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little hard to watch.
Ryan thinks he's like the next Tony Vlachos out there. He's like, yeah, I'm going to trick them. And it's like, oh, man, this is rough.
Yeah.
Truly, if Gio did not come back with an advantage and he told everyone about, I think Ryan was gone.
Oh yeah,
they
absolutely
pretended. The moment he said Jeff's gonna say the number five or the fifth person voted out Survivor 43 is Cassie, I'm like, oh, so she has immunity.
Mm-hmm.
She has, when somebody says something like that, they have immunity. You've given them immunity via the edit, obviously.
Yeah, right.
So, oh man. Okay. So, any other thoughts about last night's episode before we go talking about every single player?
Because
we'll kind of talk about every episode, I guess. Every player, but
I didn't have a lot of thoughts about last night's episode. Just I don't know, a lot of like it is interesting to see who's kind of like set up for the merge. You know, obviously like last night's episode we didn't really hear from the red tribe at all, but we'd been hearing from them a lot in like the previous episode, so I think there's some interesting alliances going into hopefully the merge next week.
Sort of merge. I know they're doing the earn the merge twist that they did the past couple seasons, where you have to win a challenge and survive a tribal council to get into the merge.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll see how they're, because they've only booted five people so far. In past seasons, they've booted at least six or seven. So
yeah, that's true. 13 people going into a merge does seem like a lot. So
it's too many. I don't think they're doing. I don't, for an 18 player season, I don't think they're going in the merge of 13. I think somebody's getting kicked or they're doing a double boot next week.
Although it is a shorter season too, with it being, is it 29 days this season? 26. Yeah. So, I mean, that also, I don't know, might just make the pacing a little different, but I guess we'll see.
So the first player we're talking about is Cassidy Clark of the Coco Tribe. Rebecca, what did you think about, or what do you think about Cassidy? Because she was under the radar for four episodes, and last night it's all of a sudden the Cassidy show in some respects.
Yeah, I thought, like you said, it was very interesting that she got so much attention last night. I mean, obviously, like, she was kind of, part of, like, I don't know, with all the votes and, like, the strategy and stuff that was, like, going down, like, she was pretty involved with that. I think it's kind of interesting how connected she is to Carla, because I mean we'll get into Carla later, but honestly, like, Carla is like one of my top players, so I'm kind of curious to see if Cassidy is being focused on because Cassidy is going to be a major player, or if it's more because she's supporting Carla's story. That was kind of my big takeaway from last night, because it seems like they had been focusing on Carla a lot for the first few episodes, but then last night they're trying not to focus on her too much, but they're focusing on a lot of people around her, which I mean partly was just because the blue tribe went to tribal two nights in a row, so that also had something to do with it. But I don't know, Cassidy's a very interesting player. I think she has some potential, so
yeah, because Red got skunked last night, with the exception of Jesse, only because he went on the third summit this season. He's the only one that got any airtime, it felt like. Cassidy though got seven confessionals in this last episode, and she's had 14 all season, so half of her speaking directly to the camera time has been was just in the last episode alone.
Yeah.
I feel like I wonder. I see what you're saying about her. Is she just a supporting character for Carla in terms of helping? You know, is this more focused on Cassie because Cassie's gonna be a player for Carla down the line? Yeah, I don't know. Carla has definitely jumped up, especially with Lindsay gone. Because it really, to me, they were giving Lindsay like this. Just, every time she spoke, it was something like it didn't seem like Lindsay was paranoid and crazy and gonna be out the door. If anything, that was you think that'd be Cody, but I guess not.
Yeah,
we'll get to Cody here soon. But yeah, Cassidy has moved up the ranks real quick. And this season, it's really trying to figure out, okay, are they having an out front? Are they having a winner just out front from the beginning, you know, like a Carla? Or is it going to be somebody here like a Cassidy who, you know, it's quiet in the beginning because there's really like what's there to talk about with Cassidy? And then she emerges because they've done both. They've done both many times. So, and here we have many candidates for... Well, they'll emerge later, and there are those who are just right from the gate. Already, there's multiple players this season right out from the gate, but Cassie's is not one of them. She's really emerged late here. She doesn't have any advantages. She has not lost her vote. We're going to track those as we go through every player. So going into the merge, I don't think she's a candidate to be voted out. I mean, personally, I don't think she's on the chopping block. If I'm just assuming if everybody gets to vote for everybody, I don't think she's on the chopping block to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. As long as her alliance doesn't turn on her for being paranoid, I think she'll be in a really good spot.
Oh, I know. Yeah. You know, though, the whole paranoia, everybody goes through paranoia.
Yeah.
You know, if you watch Survivor China, Todd Herzog wins the season and he's paranoid the whole season, like all the time. And Amanda's like, dude, chill out.
Yeah.
And so like acting like, oh, being paranoid, it means you can't win is a bunch of crap, you know, when it's happened. With one of the most famous winners of the show, so
yeah, definitely.
For me, I have Cassidy ranked number 4 out of 13. Now she was much lower; she only jumped up that much because of last night. And so my number 4 is a little contingent on will this continue as we go into the merge game? Will she still be focused on and still get the content, or is this just a one off? So it's recency bias.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I actually had her still a little bit lower. I don't know, some of these like lower mid tier ones I feel like are kind of close, but I had her at like an 8 out of 13. Okay. Again, just mostly because I'm kind of feeling like she might be more of a supporting character for Carla, but again, I don't know, we'll see. I could totally be wrong. But yeah, right now she's at an 8 for me.
Yeah, and that's I definitely had her much lower prior to this week, but there's just a large focus on her. And I vowed after Erica in 41 was completely skunked and then all of a sudden was given a large focus for an episode to not ignore that again, because I ignored it. That I paid attention that 1 week and then it kind of went away. I was like, all right, maybe it was nothing. And so anytime it happens now, I give more of a benefit of a doubt. I've learned my lesson. So
I also feel like the more modern editing style on Survivor, like obviously they are trying to have a cohesive story, but they also, it feels like they're trying harder to trick the audience in a sense.
Good.
I don't know, maybe trick is the wrong word, but you know, where the, like some of the stuff with like, oh, did this person get all the beads that they needed? And they show you the whole tribal thinking that they didn't. And then they like show a flashback like, oh, they actually did last minute. They were able to get this. And they've just been doing, they've done that like, I think 2 or 3 times so far this season, and so stuff like that, it does, yeah, it kind of makes me feel like, I don't know, maybe they're trying to set up you know, the audience to think that like, oh, this person's going to be doing well, but it's just a misdirect, you know.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a few seasons now with trying to misdirect us.
Yeah.
The question I will have going into 44 is, will they do so? In 41 and 42, they literally showed who the final three was going to be at the end of their introduction package in 41. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at 42, I just looked at that and I'm like, oh, did they do the exact same thing again? And that's how I figured out Marianne was winning that season. Cause I just like, well, they did this to Erica last season. So does this apply to Marianne? I mean, I got the top three wrong, but Marianne I got right, which almost felt like I stumbled into it because of that hint. But this season, as I've mentioned before, like there's been no silver bullet of like, if you paid attention, you would, I mean, maybe there is, and I just have missed it. So when I know who wins this season, when we finish the season, I'll be able to go back, see, okay, was there any silver bullet in episode 1? And then in 44, did they just copy it like they did last time?
Yeah,
that
would be interesting.
They shoot these back to back. I'm sure they've edited them back to back for the most part. I'm sure 44 is mostly edited, if not already finished. Like, I'm sure they're not waiting until the season ends to start working on it.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely.
I'm sure it's just in the can already, as they say. So, yeah, let's move on to Cody. I want to say his last name, but I also don't because I'm not sure I'm going to say it right. He's a real living man. He's on the Vessi tribe, the Red Tribe. He does have a hidden immunity idol with his, well, what was his hat? Only Jesse knows about that, which is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
NECA knew about it, but she's gone. So he was skunked this episode with no confessionals because we basically got no Vessi time this tribal, which is, or this episode, because it was a little concerning. They did this last season with the Blue Tribe in 42, and then the winner did not come from the Blue Tribe last season.
Mm.
So I don't know if this is a crush to the Red Tribe minus Jesse, but we'll mm-hmm. see. What do you think about Cody?
Yeah, Cody is, he's honestly jumped up a lot for me because, you know, he is very impulsive. So I think that's something that could definitely mm-hmm. be dangerous for him, but he's really good in challenges too. So, you know, that right there may be enough to you know, get him pretty far in the game anyway. I think we've also seen that he's pretty good at manipulating people. So, as you know, when yes. he went to the Blue Tribe to like steal an item, and then he ended up like negotiating with them and getting way more stuff than you probably, you know, they actually won in that challenge.
Well, he was supposed to only get one, and then he somehow yes. walked away with like three items.
Yeah,
so.
and including some food and stuff. And so I was pretty impressed by that, to be able to, you know, kind of use his sales background to like manipulate people that he wasn't even on a tribe with, like he doesn't even know them that well. So yeah, I've been pretty impressed with him so far. Again, just as long as, because obviously like taking the beware advantage and all of that, he is very impulsive with a lot of things and doesn't always think it through very well. So that could definitely get him into trouble. But yeah, right now he's pretty high for me. I have him at a number two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming. I told Mary last night while we were podcasting, I'm like, you know, the real wild card is going to be hearing from Rebecca after 4 weeks. While Rebecca and I
yes.
have texts back and forth, I have not asked her for her rankings so far.
Yes.
So this is all news to me. Number two. Wow.
Yeah.
Cody's had 29 confessionals through four episodes. He was literally tying with Russell Hance from Samoa. Russell Hance Samoa had like 100 and I believe like, I don't have it off the top of my head, but like 110 confessionals, something insane.
Wow.
Something that should never happen again. it was way too many. But he didn't get any last night. So
mm-hmm.
it kind of evens out a little bit. He is still in the lead with the most. Jesse's in second. We'll get to Jesse later, but he has 29 so far. He had zero last night. I think Cody doesn't come across as somebody, if he wins, then wonder, like truly, like that would be, wow, what a fun character to win. And I'm on board with that. That's why I said about last season about Marianne. I'm like if Marianne wins, like what a fun character to win. If Cody wins, that'll be a bunch of fun. I think he can trick people, but I think Cody's too out there. I think he's too upfront that people will, it's impossible not to know as Cody. Even in a large merge group, they're going to know as Cody. And I'm almost worried that in a large merge group, Cody, I mean, I'm not saying he's like first to go, but I do think that if anyone's the face of Vessi, it's going to be Cody. Mm. And so will Vessi be on the right side of the numbers is the question at
yeah.
the beginning of this merge.
At the same time, though, with him, I do think he is the one to take those big swings and like swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, that's like not obviously a guarantee, like that could go horribly wrong, but it could also go really right. And I think that's part of why I have him so high, too, is just because, yeah, I don't know. I think he's, I guess, a risk taker. And yeah, I don't know. You kind of need that sometimes in the game.
And his risks that he's taking aren't like, oh my gosh, like, what are you doing, Ryan?
Right.
Cody's risks, while not perfect, definitely have, for the most part, worked out. So mm-hmm. I don't have Cody. He could definitely move up. I'm really been waiting to see how the merge plays out in terms of like, will he collapse when they get to the merge? And people mm-hmm. be like, we got to get Cody because he's so likable. He's such a, you know, he's exactly who you don't want to sit next to at the end. So I'm putting him mm-hmm. at number eight, personally.
Okay.
But honestly, four through seven above him, I'm not like, oh yeah, definitely. You know, my top three I feel pretty solid on, but four through seven are totally in fluctuations. So Cody could easily, by the time we do this podcast again in 2 weeks, because we'll do one after the merge, we'll do one the week after the merge.
Yeah.
When we do this again, he could easily jump up to number four. I mean, he could jump up to top three if things really go right. So, but right now he's number eight for myself. Next player we have is Dwight Moore on the Vessi tribe. So far this season, he's had 14 confessionals. He had zero last night. He's tied with Cassidy in terms of confessionals, in terms of screen time. But honestly, he's a character who I think that even with 14, I couldn't tell you too much about him. All of his stuff's been in relation to Jesse for the most part, meaning like he's the support character to Jesse. You know, I feel like half of his talks were about how they're getting divorced or how they're married or how he did, you know, he had to get screen time when he lost his vote because that was important. It was almost like required screen time, not because Dwight. Dwight is definitely low on my list. I don't think he's on track to win. But if they're doing a pull somebody from the ashes like they did with Erica and 41, we'll see. That's where in 2 weeks when we do this again, we'll see. But right now, Dwight Moore is not coming across as a winner at all. Mm-hmm. Like Cody, I could see, like you said, even with these low, I could see him swinging for it and getting it. But Dwight, I don't see it. What do you think about Dwight?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I honestly, like, when I was ranking everyone, I was kind of like writing down why I was ranking them certain ways. And I just feel like I just don't have, like you said, much to go on with Dwight. Because, all of his confessionals are either, you know, in relation to Jesse, like you said, or even just like, they're just all about other players. Like, we don't really know much about him. We haven't gotten, like, much of a personal backstory from him.
We got a backstory at some point. I just don't remember.
Yeah, probably in the first episode. But, I don't remember it because there were so many other backstories. So I don't know. I just, he's one of those players that, like, I don't see him being the first to go in a merge situation necessarily, but I just don't see him getting to the end. So I have him ranked at number 9.
Yeah, I have him ranked at number 10. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
But at Cody at 8, I feel like has more potential than Dwight does at 10 for me. And so you have Dwight at 9, you said?
Yeah, Dwight's at 9, yeah.
Okay. I'm writing this down so when I fill out the description, I have the numbers correct.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I really don't have much more on Dwight. He's on the Vessi tribe, which I do feel okay about. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think Baca's truly, which we haven't even talked about any members from Baca.
That's true.
But we're about to. Yep. They're the bigger mess. They're the ones who are like waiting for them to collapse.
Yeah.
So he's not on the tribe ready to collapse, but he's. Yeah, they have not really given the content as if he was on track to win. So, all right, our next player is, speaking of Baca, Ellie Scott. With 21 confessionals so far, she got 3 this last episode. Everyone so far still has their vote because that's going to come up here soon. Mm-hmm. Going into the next episode, including Ellie. And on the Baca tribe, everyone knows that Janine has the idol. Everyone.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on that. That was so chaotic how that all happened.
Yeah, and please tell me all your thoughts because it was.
Yeah. So a couple things. Well, I don't know if we want to talk about Ellie and then Janine, because I have a lot of thoughts about them together because
I
feel like...
Well, you can talk about them now. Yeah, go for it.
They're playing, you know, very similar games in a lot of ways because they're just making a lot of decisions together. But to focus on Ellie, I think that she is like... I think she is a really good player. I mean, I think I had her as like number 1 or 2 when we recorded last time.
Mm-hmm, and you did. Married still does, by the way.
Oh, she still does. Okay, yep. Interesting. She's definitely.
I was like, come on, Mary.
She's definitely moved down a bit for me, only because I think that she's playing a little bit too hard, and so I think that she, and especially with all the conflict that she's had with Mike and like all of that, I have a feeling that like she's going to be part of some big blow up shortly after the merge. And so I mean, it's possible that she'll like, you know, come out of that on top, but I don't know. We'll see. I think she needs to like, I don't know, not that she needs to not play as hard, but I don't know, she just needs to be careful, I guess. And then obviously like the whole thing with like Janine finding the advantage and then immediately telling Ellie, and then Ellie just like...
Ellie tells... Who does she tell without asking?
She says we shouldn't tell Owen. And then Owen just like walks up the trail and like catches them. And it's so weird. Mm-hmm. And she like tries to hide it, but is not good at trying to hide it. And so then she just has to tell him, and now the whole tribe knows, you know?
Well, and they're like talking in secret at the water well, which is the most common location for anybody to go to just for fun.
Yeah.
And didn't she also volunteer the information to Sammy though? Didn't she just tell Sammy?
Oh yeah, she totally did. Yeah.
He didn't ask.
And then Sammy told Mike. And so now the whole tribe knows. And so
yeah.
Yeah, it's just a Ellie. Think it's a bit of a lack of awareness of like knowing where Sammy stands, because I don't think he's really with them. So I don't know. Again, Ellie, I feel like we've gotten a lot of really personal confessionals from her, and like she has really good backstory, and we've gotten to see her, you know, play the game, you know, have some strategy and stuff. But I'm just a little worried that she's playing a bit too hard. So I have her as like kind of a mid tier player. Like I have her at number 6 right now. Kind of like you were saying, like I wouldn't be necessarily shocked if she ended up doing well in the game, but I also I don't have super high expectations right now.
Yeah, how is this vote gonna happen? Because I felt like, man, I was like, for 3 episodes now, since episode 2 or 3, since episode 3 I've been waiting for them to go back to tribal, because they keep setting up Ellie versus Gabler.
Yes
and I'm like, all right, let's do it. And even last night I was like, come on, let this be the episode, it happens, you know, like, yeah. I'm like, it was fun that Blue went because they were a mess, so that did work out, but I wasn't like looking forward to another red tribal council. They've already been twice. I kind of already gotten that's what I'm wondering. So I don't know how this merge twist is. We know it's earn the merge. The question is, are they going to do 2 boots? Because they did 2 boots. Oh, man. And also, is Ellie going to freely tell everyone else in the game about how Jeanine got her idol? Because, and the reason I say it is because then people will figure out, oh, Cody asked me for beads. Oh, Carla asked for beads, which sucks because Carla did nothing wrong. And we'll get to Carla later. She has a hidden immunity idol and no one knows about it.
Yeah.
They haven't shown her telling anybody. So what the heck, you know, like I'm just like waiting for the shoe to drop and everyone to find out that Cody and Carla has an idol as well, which puts targets on them, which is also, I should have mentioned that earlier, why I'm worried about Cody is if everyone does find out he has an idol, because somebody like an Ellie or anybody in the Yellow Tribe, frankly, passes along the information. Yeah, Jeanine has an idol because she got her beads, you know.
Yeah.
And everyone else like, oh, beads. That sounds familiar. So.
Yeah, I feel like the Yellow Tribe was like decently strategic early on in terms of like, yeah, just like conversations and alliances and all that. But then, yeah, the last couple episodes, I have not been impressed with them. Like, I mean, I haven't been impressed in the sense that it's been very chaotic. And so it'll probably be fun going into the merge, but I don't know. I don't know how far they're going to get. Yeah.
All right. So here's my stance is that, and we're going to talk about these people, of course, but Gabler has to play his idol. Well, he literally has to. I mean,
yeah.
And Ellie thinks that he doesn't know he has an idol.
Oh,
and it's like, come on. And they keep painting this and they keep pointing it out over and over. So you're just waiting for that shoe to drop.
Yeah.
But Ellie, I have ranked 5, but this is why I said about Cody. I'm like, Cody, maybe 3 spots lower, but like 4 through 8 all can be like, if you were to flip and swap any of them, I'm like, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like Ellie being number 8 and Cody being number 5 is just, it's fine. Like, I think Ellie, if she comes out on the right side of this confrontation, could make it to the end of the game. But if Ellie, what I think is going to happen, which is Gabler plays his idol and Ellie is blindsided, then obviously that's not good. But she has potential to go far if she can escape this. But they have really taken the time to show that this whole tribe's a mess. And so apparently Baka in Japanese means idiot. And I feel like the tribe has lived up to that name. This is why I've been told.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, since you brought up the whole idol thing, I thought that that's a great example of where I think Ellie is good at strategy, but she's playing too hard because she, you know, had that idea of like, oh, I'm going to feel out if he knows that this idol is still good, which was in theory a good idea. And even the way she went about it was fine. But the problem was that she was too arrogant about it. And so she like told everyone that like this is what she's doing. And so then, you know, he finds out about it. And so then they're just playing this charade of like, you know, they're both pretending that they don't have information. And so I think if she would have just asked him that and not made a big deal out of it, it would have been a good move. But because she made such a big deal out of it, it just kind of made her look like not the smartest player.
The scene where Ellie's like, let's have a fake idol making day, had me rolling. I was like, are you?
Yes.
I was like, and I'm sure it came up naturally in conversation, but the way the show presents it made it seem like she just out of left field was like, let's have a fake idol making day. Doesn't that sound fun, kids? Ellie, I don't know if I said this, so I'm just going to double check. Ellie has 21 confessionals so far, so she is in the upper echelon. She had 3 this last episode. Every episode she's gotten, she has not missed an episode of Focus, so.
Yeah,
Ellie is she doesn't come across as a winner, but if, as I said, if she comes on the right side of this fight, of this confrontation, then I think she could go far. I don't see her as a big target. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with this Gabler idol. Our next player is James Jones on the Coco tribe. He has had 10 confessionals so far, 2 in this last episode. And this is probably, I don't think he's the worst player on the blue tribe. Like, I don't think he's in the worst position on the blue tribe for obvious reasons with one player. But James, even though he's been in a good position, heck, he's like Carla's right-hand man. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him winning the game.
Yeah.
As of now, nothing has been shown to him for him to be a winner. If anything, he looks like somebody who will help Carla get far, and then he'll get picked off at some point, or he'll be at Final Tribal and people be like, "What'd you do?" He's like, "I helped Carla." They're like, "Cool."
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about James?
Yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, he is in a pretty good position going into the merge, hopefully soon. But yeah, we just haven't seen much gameplay from him. Like, we've seen, even, you know, he talked about in that tribal, when was that? 2 nights ago, I think. Anyway, he was saying that, like, you know, his strategy is just like going into the tribal to just be chill, be at camp, and just like, that's how you reassure your tribe mates and stuff. So, I mean, there's mm-hmm. some value to what he's saying for sure, but I think that's very indicative of just his personality and like the way that he's playing the game, which is very much just go with the flow, kind of under the radar. He's not really like in control or making moves. He's just kind
which
of
is fine. You supporting. Don't have to be that to win.
Yeah, but he's definitely supporting Carla's game, like you said. So I don't know. I do have him at number 7 just because, again, he's in kind of a good position going into the merge, but mm-hmm. he definitely does need to start playing a bit harder after the merge in order for him to actually have a chance of winning.
James is in a position where I think he reaches the end and could win only if everyone else in front of him like just blows up. Mm-hmm. Like, he could be the cockroach surviving a nuclear bomb. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else gets in this huge massive fight, aims and targets each other all season until we get to the final like 5, and then James like, okay, I'll pick off the one remaining big target, and now I'm sitting against, you know, a few other people who aren't well regarded, and I can at least claim something. Like, that's how James comes across right now. My real knock against him, and this also applies to Carl and Cassie, is but really against him, because I think he's the one presented the idea, is so Lindsay gets voted out, and I forgot who first presented the idea of voting out Lindsay just because she's paranoid. Mm-hmm. But James last night, or James with this past episode, I think he was the one that presented, why don't we vote out Cassie? It's like, you can't just pick off teammates who are on your side and will vote with you just because they're paranoid. Like, it shouldn't even come out of your mouth, because you're supposed to reassure these people. Why would you want, like, okay, so Gio didn't have the advantage, right? Let's say he didn't have it.
Yeah.
I'm, like, worried that they actually would have gone for Cassidy. And I'm just, why would you take people who are not on your side for a fact over people who are paranoid but at least are on your side?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Because he was the one who presented it. Carl's like, yeah, maybe. But they didn't do it, obviously. Because it was said, like, 2 seconds before tribal started. But I think it came out of his mouth.
Yeah, it did.
And it's
just
like, why stop it. And I'm sure, by the way, Carla said it first, just the way the show presents it as James said it.
Yeah,
so that's how we have to look at this. It's all a story and they're all giving us hints, so I don't know. Stuff like that makes me a little worried, because what if Carla gets paranoid one episode and James like, nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very true.
You're out, Carla. I can't deal with anybody being paranoid.
It's just, like you said, it's very short-sighted, because, it gets you through this one vote, and, like, you know what this one vote is, but then next vote, you're just down in numbers. So, it's definitely, like, he doesn't strike me as a very strategic player right now, so he definitely needs to step that up.
Yeah, I would rather go into the merge with people who are on my side, even if they're paranoid, than people who I know for a fact are not on my side.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous to me. So I also have never played Survivor nor won. So what do I really know? All right. I have James ranked at 9. Where'd you say you had him ranked again?
I had him at number 7. So right 7, in that ballpark. So. Yeah.
I think the furthest we've been apart from anybody is Cody, when you had him at 2-9.
Yeah.
James, I do feel like is part of the next echelon, where I said 4 through 8 could all be swapped. Mm-hmm. James is in the next echelon, where I don't think he could be in the 4 through 8, but he could be swapped at the, I think, my 10 and 11 which I haven't even said who 10 and 11 are yet, but when we get to them, he could be swapped to them and I'd be fine. So our next player is Janine, and I'm not going to try to say her last name because I will butcher it, but she's on the Baka tribe. She has 13 confessionals. Seven, aka over half of what she's gotten all season, was just in this last episode alone. And she cannot vote next episode. We've gotten to our first player who cannot vote in the next episode or the next time to go tribal, which I assume is next episode. And what do you think about Janine? She has an idol, but everyone knows about it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, how much power does the idol really hold? Because literally everyone knows about it. And like, yeah, I would be shocked if in a merge situation, no one from that tribe like tells everyone. Because yeah, I feel like everyone's just going to know. I think Janine is like, she's a very good player. She's obviously like pretty close with Ellie, and that's fine. But so far, I feel like she's been presented in a lot of ways as Ellie's goat in a sense. Mm-hmm. Like, for example,
she's Ellie's sidekick.
Like, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, she is. Yeah, just kind of supporting Ellie's story in a sense. Now, I will say, in the last episode, I think she's gotten more. She's become more of the main character, I suppose.
I think it's only because she found the Beware advantage, though.
Well, she
I feel
did,
like that's why she got so much attention. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gotten it.
That's true. But she risked her vote twice in the... Was it in the same episode? Or back-to-back episodes? So, I mean, you know, she's clearly not afraid to play. Obviously,
Whoa,
she lost
two different
one of them.
Summits? Is that what you're saying?
No, for the Beware advantage, she risked her vote, but was successful.
Yeah.
And then for the summit, she risked it again and then lost, of course.
That's true. She risked it twice in one episode. Yeah.
Yeah, which that is kind of interesting. I actually have her just above Ellie now, mostly because of this last episode of how we've seen her start to play a bit. But yeah, I think she's just going to have to be careful of, like, I don't know, if it ends up being her and Ellie in the end, I feel like Ellie is going to get more votes because she's talking to more people, I guess. Whereas Janine is very much like, as soon as she has any information, she's going straight to Ellie with it. I don't know. As long as she like keeps playing and kind of owns her game a little bit more, I think she could go pretty far. So yeah, right now I have her at number five.
Janine, wow. I did not see that coming. I am so glad that you have different numbers, because Mary and I have kind of gotten on the same page for the most part.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to hear you're refreshingly wrong. Let me start with that.
My wild cards. Yeah.
You just can't be right, right?
Yeah.
Only I can be right.
Right.
As arrogance says. No, I ranked her 11. I'm actually a little surprised you put her at 5.
Yeah.
I could see her surviving till the end. Nothing says to me that she is going to be able to. She's been Ellie's side. Anyone who's been painted as somebody's sidekick.
Yeah.
And it's not sidekick in the way of like they're actually the brains of the operation. She's just kind of been Ellie's sidekick. So
yeah,
I don't really see Janine winning. But if,
yeah.
Wow. That
I
five.
Mean, she's definitely starting to build her resume with those two moves in this episode where she risked her vote. So I think if she has a good enough resume, I could see her doing well. But like, it definitely would be a thing where like, yeah, she'd have to have a really solid like last tribal in order to convince people, because yeah, she is kind of, I agree with what you said, she's, you know, kind of seen as Ellie's sidekick right now, so she'll have to get over that perception.
Vote out Ellie, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah. Let's move on to our next person, which is Jesse Lopez on the Vessi tribe. 25 confessionals so far, 6 in this last episode. Cannot vote at the next episode, which is my one knock against him, because he is the face of the red tribe to us. I don't think on the beach he's the face of the red tribe. I think that's Cody. But to us, he's the face of the red tribe. He's always shown as level-headed. Like, the only time it's ever come up as negative is when he had his little tiff with Dwight. And by the way, I do worry that now that he can't vote and Dwight can, if that will come up again, like, well, you didn't do what I said last time, and I'm not going to do what you said. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't get that petty, but that's his big things. He can't vote. So Jesse, I'm really high on, as I've said every week, but I want to hear what your thoughts are on him.
Yeah, I am also really, like, I have him really high as well. I think Jesse, it's so interesting how he's kind of paired up with Cody because I feel like Cody takes all the attention, but Jesse is the brains of the operation.
He's the brains,
now, like
yeah.
you said, that might not be the perception on the beach, but definitely the way that they're showing us in the edit, we're seeing Jesse just being good at manipulating people, like the whole thing with the beads when Cody, you know, just impulsively took the beware advantage, and then he, you know, Cody's just like freaking out, like, oh, I've lost my vote, there's no way I can get it. And then Jesse was mm-hmm. the one who came up with that strategy of like, oh, your hat, like that was Jesse's strategy. So
yes.
Cody was the face of that, but it was Jesse's idea. And
yeah.
so I think he can go really well. Also, we've gotten a lot of personal confessionals from him. When they voted out NECA, he had that quote about how voting out NECA was kind of like voting out his mom, and that just
what
struck me as
changer.
Like, yeah, just I don't know, yeah. So we've seen him be very strategic. We've seen, you know, we've gotten a good amount of information from him in his confessionals. I think his pair, like him being paired with Cody, is really interesting to me. So I have him really high. I have him at number 3.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I have him at number 2.
Nice.
He is the face of the tribe. He's not, to my knowledge or to what I recollect, he has not been undercut. They don't show something. It's not, he's not getting an Ellie edit where it's like, mm-hmm. show something of Ellie, undercut Ellie. It's
right.
show something of Jesse, and then it's proven to be right. So Jesse has been nothing but shown positive. By the way, the voting out the mom thing, I'm not sure how long it's been since you've seen season 27, but in season 27, somebody actually voted out their mom and Jeff could not shut
oh.
up about it.
Yes,
for
I remember
seasons.
That. Yes.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
so when I say he's a game changer.
She came back for another twice. Season and they also would not shut up about it for those seasons.
Nope.
But
Jeff,
yeah, that was a
know
crazy
how.
Move. Yeah. Yeah.
In a video, I jaw dropping the 5 moments in jaw drop, 5 moments Survivor History at Make Your Jaw Drop. I keep
mm-hmm.
forgetting the title. That's the basic premise.
Yeah.
It's on Patreon right now, but that's one of it. That's one of them in there. So I went through like the season that she did it, and every time Jeff talked about her after she did it, and then I went through the season. So she did season 27.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he talks about in 28, but he talks about in 29. He talks about in 30. He talks about in 31. And it's
yes.
just like I got all those clips. And I just like montage them all, and just like Jeff just cannot like he just. He cannot get over it. So, yeah, Jesse, though, he voted out his mom, but not the same. So,
mm-hmm.
Jesse, number 2 for me, number 3 for you. Next player is Carla, who is, you know, coming from the Coco tribe. This,
mm-hmm.
frankly, so far looks like the smartest one in the Coco tribe.
Mm-hmm.
21 confessionals,
yeah.
has a hidden media idol that no one knows about. She did get 3 of her confessionals this last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like when I kept paying attention to Lindsay back when I thought Lindsay was on track to win, Carla was always like right there behind Lindsay for me. She was number 4 for me for the first few weeks until we got to Lindsay getting voted out. And it's like, well,
mm-hmm.
Carla's the brains of the blue tribe then, because who else would be? So what do you think
yeah.
about Carla?
Yeah. So I'm just going to jump straight into it. Carla is my number 1.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
I think she is in a great position going into the merge because she has a really solid alliance. She is really observant and really aware. Whenever Cody came to their tribe and, you know, negotiated with all of them, she was the one that, at least in the edit that we saw, talking about how, wait a second, you know, he just manipulated us and he got way too much stuff
mm-hmm.
and all of that. So she's very aware of Cody and how he's playing. And then, yeah, she's also, you know, we've seen her kind of overthink, you know, where she left the Beware Advantage and she was like hemming and hawing over whether or not to like take it and risk it and all of that. So, you know, but then she ultimately did end up being brave and going back and getting it. And then now she has an idol that no one knows about. So, yeah, I think she's set up really solid going into the merge. And we've seen her have some really solid gameplay that's been enough under the radar that she's not drawing too much attention. But it is, you know, building a really good resume. And, yeah, I think she's in a really good position. So I am excited to see what happens.
Unless Carla makes a cruise, that's her last name. Unless Carla makes a turn to be a massive villain on the back half of the season, because she hasn't been so far, I'm still sitting here pondering, wondering why in the previews for Survivor 43, they showed a confessional of Carla, and this is very prominent, where she said, "I will do anything to win." Well, not anything. No, yeah, no, I'll do anything. And then it's like, but it's like totally, it's not, it's like kind of humorous, but it's definitely a villain confessional and has not been in the show, and it was clearly done on day one or day two or whatever, because it's the same confessional spot she did in the first episode. So they've chosen not to put that in the episode, but it was in the preview pretty prominently.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me wonder if, because keep in mind, when they, I'm 99% sure when they made that preview, it was when 42 ended, but I don't think 43 had finished filming yet.
Okay.
So you, if you see what I'm saying here, I'm going to double check my math on that real quick. But my point is that they put that confessional in the preview, not knowing if Carla was going to win yet or if she was on track to win or anything like that. But they didn't know exactly what her edit was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they put that there. I'm looking at the, all right, so the finale of 42 is May 25th. Survivor 43 started filming on May 2nd and finished May 27th. So Survivor 43, as I said, all right, so that ended 2 days after the finale. And that preview for 43 was not made the day of the finale.
Right.
I would say it was probably a week before this game ended. So mm-hmm. they put that in that preview, not knowing either A, how Carla finished, or B, if she, you know, like how, if she wins anything, because we've mm-hmm. seen her make the merge. So I don't know how far in May that is. I haven't done the math here. I want to say they're on day 12 now. So that would mean May 2nd plus 12. They're on May, it's May 14th,
mm-hmm.
which would be what, 2 weeks before the finale. And she still hasn't been voted out. So long story short, when they include that confessional, they didn't know how she's going to finish the game, I'm guessing. Or they, if they did, then I just don't. I think the preview's made before they knew. And I think mm-hmm. Carla goes further or wins because they've left it out of the show. And why would you leave that out unless she's a winner or a fan favorite? Like, that's yeah. it was such a villain confessional. So, and I don't know. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go back and watch the, all right, guys, here's what we're doing for Survivor 43 next season that they do at the end of 42. And you'll see exactly what I mean. So, absolute, just like, to me, is the red herring I keep sitting on. I'm like, all right, is mm-hmm. this a red herring, or is this like, because like they made that clearly not knowing how the season ended yet. They didn't know who won.
Yeah.
So I'm just like waiting for it. I'm like, all right, why did they cut this confessional out? It was such a big part of that preview. So
yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah. Also, for the record, I'm here for a Carla villain arc, if that's what ends up happening.
Oh, yeah. I'm open to someone back half of the season becoming the villain and winning, as long as it's not villain in sense of bullying people or
definitely.
Making like real world I'm here for survivor villainy. I'm not here for real world villainy. So.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which all she right, doesn't strike me as a real world villain, but I don't know. Could be wrong.
Editing does a lot.
It's true. It does.
She's. I follow her on Twitter. She's a lot of fun on Twitter. So
nice.
I have no idea. Next player is Mike Gabler. I think this is going to be a big drop off from Carla. I do like Mike. I think Mike's a fun character on the season. He's the old man crazy archetype we've done a few times.
Yeah.
Mike, as we all know, has an idol that can only be used at the next episode and the next tribal council he goes to, which hypothetically should be the next episode. They've been setting this up for so long now. Ellie thinks he doesn't know his idol's good. So in theory, she should be targeting him.
Mm-hmm.
We think maybe that's why I wanted them to go to tribal before the merge, because at the merge you get more options. But before the merge, I think Mike was the target for Ellie, which would have been hilarious.
Yeah,
he said 18 confessionals all season. He only had won this episode. And I think it was after Sammy told him that, hey, Janine tricked you to get the idol. That's when we heard from him. So it was really a Janine focused confessional.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not on track to win.
No.
If he is, then great. What a crazy twist, but I don't think he is.
I think he has pretty good potential of getting far in the game, mostly because he's like, kind of that annoying, like, older guy who doesn't really get along with everyone else super well.
I can't even blame him. Everyone in his tribe's like half his age.
Oh, yeah. No, not at all. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, like, he's, you know, dealing physically with, you know, just being on the island and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think just even personality wise, like, he just hasn't gotten along with a lot of people on his tribe. And so, yeah, I see him being one of those people that is like not perceived as a threat. And so he probably will make it pretty far in the game, but I don't see any chance of him winning either. I don't have him dead last. I have him at number 12, but he's pretty far down there for me.
Finally. Yeah. Back-to-back times we've agreed. I have him at number 12 as well.
Nice.
Something tells me we're going to agree on 13, but
yeah,
probably. But yeah, number 1 and number 12 are on the same page. Yeah, Mike if Mike wins, he has to have like a massive turnaround.
Yeah.
And we'll come back here in 2 weeks and let you know if it's even starting to happen. But so far, if anything, I think he, if Ellie really does target him next episode, I think he survives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would be insane if he didn't, but I don't think Mike is going to play a strong enough game to win.
Mm-hmm.
After, when he did that whole, I'll play the shot in the dark tonight thing, like volunteering it just shows you that he's not as game savvy.
Yeah.
Which definitely is fine. I don't want everyone to be super game savvy, but it doesn't, but it's, so it makes him great as a character, but I just don't see him winning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else about Mike before we move on?
I don't think so. No, I think we're good to move on.
Just double checking, because
yeah.
Noelle Lambert is next. This is the biggest question mark to me. She's from the Vessi tribe. She has 11 confessionals. She has zero this last episode. She does have a vote steal in her pocket, which, frankly, mm-hmm. until I looked at the Survivor Wiki, I forgot about. So, which means it's probably not going to be used anytime soon, because otherwise they would keep painting like, oh, remember, she has a vote steal.
Right.
No, she is a boss in the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
The edit has not given her a winner story arc, but man, does she kill? Like, last night, she was like hopping on one leg through the yeah. obstacle course, and I'm like, I would have a hard time with two legs, let alone yeah. with one leg. So she's a boss in the challenges, and she is at the bottom of Vessi, but Vessi clearly hasn't gone back to tribal, and mm-hmm. I don't think that they're gonna target her at the next. I don't think Vessi's like, let's get her out next time, you know, yeah. when we get to the merge. I don't sense that with them. I feel like they will unify for the most part. But what do you think about her?
Yeah, I actually have her pretty high. I have her currently at number 4. I think part of the reason for that is because, yeah, like she is so good in the challenges. She is so driven. We've seen that in a lot of her confessionals, just getting her backstory and like, you know, how hard she's worked to be able to still, you know, be an athlete after losing her leg and like all of that. Mm-hmm. is just, she's clearly like a very driven person and is, you know, 110% in this game. She also, I think, is aware that she's kind of on the bottom of the tribe. And so she has made an effort anytime there's an opportunity to make connections with people on other tribes, which is setting her up for the merge. So, yeah. for example, when they had the summit and she, I forget, I think it was Owen and who else, I can't remember who else went with her, but the whole way up there, she was just really telling them like, I'm on the bottom, I've got to risk my vote, and basically mm-hmm. convinced them to not risk. So she had a guaranteed win. So that's how she got the steal a vote challenge. Yeah.
yeah.
What is it? Advantage, sorry, not challenge, yeah, advantage.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yes. But so that's how she got that. So she was able to kind of manipulate that. And then there was also the challenge where she was, you know, their team won, and then they were helping the yellow tribe so that Coco would have to go to tribal. So she was the one who initiated that. She was telling Ellie, she's like, hey, this is where you need to move the pieces. So mm-hmm. by kind of reaching out and like clearly teaming up with the yellow tribe, I think that's really interesting, because it just shows that she's like already thinking ahead in the game, even though, again, yeah. we haven't seen that much from her confessionals, but just in her actions in the game, we've seen that she is thinking ahead. And so that's why I have her at number 4. I have high hopes. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely possible that she'll get close to the end and then people will think she has too good of a story and then get voted out. Which mm-hmm. is why I don't have her higher up. But yeah, I think she has a really good chance of getting really far in the game.
I'm right there with you. The only reason I see people targeting her is because she has the very obvious physical, you know, with the leg, she has an obvious sympathetic story mm-hmm. to tell yeah. at the end. And whether they've mentioned this season or not, it's been brought up in previous seasons, almost any time somebody has an obvious sympathetic story, it's like, well, we can't bring that person to the end because they'll literally
right.
tell this and everybody will sway to their side. Even if that's not the truth, even if that's mm-hmm. not actually what will happen, people get paranoid about that.
Yeah.
And it puts target on her back, unfortunately. I do see her not being targeted early. I don't think she's going to be, she's not the face of Vessi by any means. We talked mm-hmm. about Cody is. If anything, he should be the one targeted from the Red Tribe. But I could see Vessi being like, crap, we're on the wrong side of numbers, let's sacrifice her at the same time.
Yeah.
So if they're like, oh no, we've fallen on the wrong side, yellow and blue have teamed up against us for some reason, then they could throw her to the wolves, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I have her ranked at 7, but as I've said, 4 through 8 are all very wishy-washy. You can flip them. So she could be four, she could be eight. But for me, she's seven because I had to put a number on it. But she can move easily move up or down, as we'll see, in the next week or so. Next week's called Mergatory, which doesn't make me feel too good about what that what kind of merge we're getting. But that's what it's called. So, yeah. Anyways, the next player we're talking about is... Owen Knight. I almost said Ryan. It's not. It's Owen Knight. Owen Knight's our next one. He's off the. He's coming from the Baka tribe. 12 confessionals. Only one confessional last two episodes, which I think is important to note. And he comes across to me. He was painted as kind of a dummy the first few episodes. And this lack of content the past two episodes, even though we've gotten Yellow Tribe content, it's not like they've been skipped or anything. Doesn't make me feel too good about him as a winner.
Yeah.
So what do you think about Owen?
So I have Owen dead last. He's my number 13. Kind of like you were saying, he just hasn't been...
Owen's your number 13? Oh, we are not on the same page.
Oh, we're not? Oh,
okay. No.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Well, here we go.
Another blind side.
Yeah. I think he just... First of all, he hasn't been... strategic, like hardly at all. We haven't gotten much content from him. And also, like, he doesn't seem to be very socially aware, which is why I put him at like dead last. Because like the moment when he walked up on Ellie and Janine clearly trying to hide an idol from him, and the only reason that Ellie told him about it was because it was like so obvious that they were trying to hide it. And he didn't, at least in the edit, he didn't have any problem with that. Like, he was just like, oh, it's cool that I know about this idol now. And it wasn't suspicious to him that his teammates that supposedly he was in an alliance with, that they clearly wanted to hide this idol from him. Mm-hmm. And so, like, to me as a player, that would have been a huge red flag. I would have like been, you know, we need to talk about this, but he just didn't seem to have really any reaction to that. And yeah, he's just like, I don't know. He just doesn't seem to be... I don't know. He just doesn't seem to be adding much. He doesn't seem to have much gameplay or strategy. He's just kind of there. So at least in the edit, that's how he's coming across. So he's my number 13.
Owen for me is number six. As I said, he's in that 4 to 8. Flip any of them. It doesn't really matter to me. He could be 8. He could be 4. I think Owen, the lack of content is concerning. The dummy content's a little concerning that he's gotten. I agree with you. I think, my only caveat with him not being worried, and to be fair, Ellie and Janine have not been shown to be some top tier players.
That's
so
true.
Them hiding it from Owen is not necessarily, oh, Owen's playing such a bad game, as much as Ellie and Janine are just a mess.
Yeah.
Tis how I see it. Owen catching them was almost like a smart Owen move, even if it was accidental. But Owen is in a position right now where he's the swing vote. At one point, I thought it was going to be Sammy was the swing vote. I guess Owen's swing vote in that tribe. So we still don't know, because they haven't gone tribal since the Mariah vote, which apparently was clean cut with the way it was presented in the show in episode one. We don't really know where Yellow stands aside from Ellie and Gabler. The other three are kind of like, Janine's on Ellie's side. You know, Sammy seems to be on the guy's side. Owen's the swing vote, but I don't know what that means, and I don't know until they go to vote. So Owen right now is very much in flux. I could see him dropping. I don't think I would drop him to 13, but I could see him dropping. But Owen could end up on the right side of things and move up. But the content they've shown about him or of him has not been. So I put him at 6. I probably should have put him a little lower now in retrospect. I'm like, Cody, I feel better about than Owen. But for now, he's 6. And in 2 weeks, I'll adjust that if he's still here. But
there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't see him being the first voted out in a merge situation.
No.
Because, again, I feel like he's going to be perceived as not much of a threat. So I definitely think he could get, you know, decently far in the game. But, I just feel like he has very slim chances of winning at this point.
Mike, Janine, and Ellie are my top people from Yellow to get voted out first. I know that's like more than half the tribe or whatever, but I think Sammy's well protected. I think Sammy is constantly shown in a light that has him being viewed as smart, even if he is, which we're gonna get Sammy here soon. Even if it's even if he's being shown as being correct, even if he's being presented as not the perfect player. So I don't think he's going soon. I don't think he'll be thrown to the wolves. I think that Janine and Ellie would be thrown first, or Mike. So So yeah. We'll see. But Owen, yeah, I think he's protected for now, but I would not be shocked if Owen was just like one of those like, oh, this week they really have nothing to do, so they're devoting out Owen
yeah.
episodes.
Yeah, definitely.
They're going to pretend like somebody else might go, but no, it's been Owen the whole time. So
yeah.
All right. The next person is Ryan of the Coco Tribe. 10 confessionals, 3 in this last episode. Straight up, he's ranked 13. This is who I thought you were going to 13 to.
Yeah.
He's ranked 13 for me. What a mess. What terrible gameplay. Holy cow. I was blown away when he was, like, not since season 10, I think, has anyone been able to successfully say, yeah, just vote me out because, like, I am holding back the tribe. And then mm-hmm. they did vote him out because his name was Jeff and he rolled his ankle on a coconut. And it's like, okay, well, that was well deserved. No one else has been able to get away with that since then. And people believe them.
Yeah.
Like, what was he thinking?
Yeah, that was definitely just, like, not good gameplay. And I know that, again, they ask, like, a million questions during Tribal Council and then they mm-hmm. edit it, obviously. But he was just not subtle at all during Tribal.
No.
He said it so many times. He was like, you know, just, yeah, just vote me. Like, you know, I'll leave with a smile on my face and all. It's like, okay, no one is going to believe that. Like, you are in this game that supposedly you love and like you're here to win $1 million. Like, no one's believing you. Like, no
one
on your
tribe
is believing
you. That's
the
first 10 seasons would anybody believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
I think the biggest thing for me is like the funniest part to me was when he's like, I just hope whenever he votes me out that they say something nice about me because I just want to be a positive force. And it's like, bro, get out. It's funny, but get out of here. Like,
yeah,
come
yeah.
on.
And like the funny thing to me, too, is that like obviously as the audience, we have this weird like perspective where we are seeing at least an edited version of what everyone is thinking and, you know, feeling in the moment. And it's just so funny when stuff like that is happening where it's like we as the audience know that every single person at this tribal knows what's going on and like no one believes him. But yet he still has to go through this. Again, the charade of just like pretending like he's going to get all these votes and he doesn't believe it. No one else on the tribe believes it. So it's like, who is this for? It just makes him look dumb.
For himself, because I think he's seen one season of Survivor, whatever season they showed him before he got on the show. Because if he watched the show before he got on, I would be a little surprised based on the gameplay here.
Yeah.
I want to know where you rank him, though. I put him at 13.
Yeah, I have him at number 11. So, I mean, not
that's
high,
too high.
But
no,
yeah.
That's too high. Anything above 12 is too high for Ryan after last night. He was doing okay. Before last night, I was like, Ryan's probably middle of the pack now.
Yeah.
Very quickly. That's why I said, in a matter of one episode, you can just tank your whole.
Yeah.
The view of you.
And I mean, like, he could have just had an off night, you know, but yeah, he definitely, he needs to, I don't know. I didn't see any evidence of him like being more aware. I mean, obviously he was shocked by the vote, but
Lindsay had an off night.
Yes. Yeah. That needs to be a real wake up call for him.
Only because Gio had an advantage mm-hmm. that he told everyone about. Does he get voted out? Cause otherwise I think Ryan was going and it was going to be 3-2 on Ryan.
Yep.
I know they pretended Cassidy might go, and I can't even believe they said that out loud.
Yeah.
But Ryan was going Ryan got lucky.
Mm-hmm.
He looked, he's blindsided, but he got lucky. That episode was a Ryan is trash at Survivor episode. Not him as a person, just at Survivor.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. What was this? You said 11 was his ranking?
Yes.
So based on mathematical equations, I have figured out now.
Yes.
Based on math, I should be able to know how you've ranked our last player here, which is Sammy.
Uh-huh.
But to be fair, I want to say he's in your top three. Is he number 2 for you? No, 2 for you is Cody. Where is he ranked?
Yes. He is number 10.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me set up Sammy. Sammy's coming from off the Baka tribe. I do think that Sammy is protected by... I don't think he's going to be an early merge target. He mm-hmm. has 15 confessionals, 3 of this last episode. 15 seems low for him. I feel like whenever Yellow gets time in the sun, he gets time in the sun. Because even last night, when we heard about the whole Janine thing, and we cut to Sammy like leaning against a tree, which is such a weird spot for them. Like, they never do somebody leaning against a tree. But it almost felt like they were like, okay, let's get Sammy's perspective on this. Even though we don't need Sammy's perspective, let's get mm-hmm. his perspective. Which I don't feel solid about Sammy winning. I feel like Sammy is playing a second, third place game if he reaches Final Tribal. I don't. Because of the way he speaks, not because of his knowledge. He is correct most of the time. Like,
mm-hmm.
most time I'm like, I agree with you, Sammy. But it's almost like because he's 19, pretending to be 22. And I know he can't stop saying that, but yeah. It comes across. He reads to me more like a bit more arrogant, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. I was trying to find a better word, but I think that might be the word.
Yeah.
He comes across as more arrogant and not as gentle. And to be fair, he's a 19-year-old guy. And when I was 19, mm-hmm. I mean, if you've heard me now, I'm not even gentle now, but...
Yeah.
So what do you think about Sammy? How do you have it at 10?
Yeah, yeah. I think that was, I mean, you kind of mentioned a lot of the reasons why I have him so low, which is that I do think he thinks that he's a lot more clever than he is. Mm-hmm. Because you said he's had 15 confessionals total. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, and at least in two of those confessionals that I remember, maybe even more, he's like the whole point of the confessional has been that he's like, I'm 19, but I'm telling everyone that I'm 22 or whatever. And it's just, it feels like he keeps talking about how good of a game he's playing, but I haven't actually seen him like play a good game yet.
They haven't gone to tribal aside from the Mariah vote. So he hasn't had much opportunity, to be fair.
Yeah, that's totally true. But also like he's also siding with Gabler, which I feel like is not the most strategic move. So like
is
that may be
siding with Ellie any better?
Well, that's true. Yeah, so I don't know. He's one of those players that, like, I don't know. I could see him getting, you know, somewhat far in the game, but I don't know. I feel like his, arrogance or just, not even arrogance, but just, like, thinking that he's outsmarting everyone. I think he's overestimating how much he's, like, outsmarting everyone, and so I can see that getting him into trouble later. Now, maybe he can get through it, and maybe he'll surprise us, but yeah, right now I have him at number 10, so yeah, we'll see what happens.
With Jesse being at 2 and Carla at number 1 for me, I feel very good about them. I don't, like, if they get voted out, I think it's just because people realize, oh my gosh, they're a threat to win this thing.
Yeah.
Not because they will just screw it up or because they'll get to Final Tribal and blow it. I don't think of anything either of them blow out at Final Tribal. It could be wrong. But Sammy, for me, is ranked number 3. Mm-hmm. And he's, I guess, Cody's your wild card being at 4. Sammy's my wild card. Because we've only seen him go to one tribal, I don't know how he's going to be in the merge. Mm-hmm. And Sammy could be the face of the L tribe and get voted off. You know, he could be. I don't think he's going to be. I think Sammy, he reads like somebody who's going to get super far and get picked off right near the end or get to the end and then lose. But I don't know. I'm holding us on a sliver of hope that he does get to the end and he figures it out along the way. But I think in these 26 days, you see less change in people than you do in the 39 when people had a lot of time to just sit around and do nothing.
Yeah,
and while that doesn't translate to TV all the time. You see a lot. If you go back and watch the 39 day seasons, you see quite a few people who make it through the whole game. They have change of some sort. Not all the time, but none of these 26 day seasons have I seen anybody go from day 1 to day 26 and be like, you know what, Survivor's really changed me. Aside from saying those exact words, I've never actually seen change in anybody who played in these 26 day seasons because things are just happening so rapid fire. They don't have time to sit around and reflect on their life and be like,
yeah,
what am I doing? Who am I? You know, which you get a lot of in the 39 day seasons. People have time to reflect and be like, you know what, I've realized things about myself. And usually the people who have those kinds of journeys don't win, usually, from my recollection. They usually get fan favorite. They usually get to the end, but they don't win. But so Sammy, will he have a revelation like that? I don't know. He's very, very, very much in line to drop a bunch of places at once. I mean, if he has a Ryan-esque episode, Sammy goes to the bottom real quick because it's like, oh, I was waiting for this to happen.
Yeah.
He's 3, but like I only feel solid about my number 1 and 2. I don't feel solid about anybody else after that. I'm like, I don't know about you winning. I mean, it could happen. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, except for Ryan. If Ryan wins, I would be blown away.
That would be insane.
That'd be like the big, or Mike wins, or Gabler, whatever you want to call him. That would be the biggest turnaround.
Oof. Wow. Yeah.
All season.
Yeah.
So that's all we have for the winner analysis for this week. We're going to be back with you all in 2 weeks. So after episode 7. But Rebecca.
Yes.
It's happening tonight at midnight. Can you tell us what it is?
Oh, I get to talk about Taylor Swift on this podcast?
Please. Just get it over with.
How much time do you have?
No, tell them what you're dressed as, because I don't have a picture of you.
Oh,
for them.
Yes. So I am dressed in a, I don't know what this is called, like an oversized tan cardigan dark blue shirt, in celebration of Taylor Swift's Midnights album dropping tonight at midnight, which I'm very excited for. Oh, is it
called Midnights?
It's called Midnights, yes. Oh,
that explains why it's dropping at midnight.
Okay. Yes. Meet Me at Midnight is like the whole theme of this. And she's going for a very like stylistic, I guess, kind of like 70s style. Lots of tans, browns, blues, that sort of color scheme. So tried to dress on theme today. And yeah, I'm a big Swiftie. I would use the term unhinged Swiftie. I could probably start a podcast just about Taylor Swift, I'll be honest.
You probably get more views than I would with these, to be
maybe.
Fair.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Taylor
maybe.
Swift is, she's the same age as me, and she is, you might be surprised to hear this, way more popular as well. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, but. That is surprising.
I think she's the same age. We're pretty close, if not. But. Yeah. Yeah, Swift has a new album coming out. I was surprised when she dropped two during 2020. I'm not a huge Swiftie. Mm-hmm. I like some of her music. But I remember when we talked about this week doing the podcast, you're like, well, we can't do it on Friday because the album drops and I'm going to be emotionally wrecked. And I thought you were exaggerating.
I probably will not be sleeping tonight because I'll be staying up to listen to it and then probably
don't
listening
you work
to
tomorrow?
It again. I do, yes. Yeah, tomorrow's going to be rough.
Oh, man.
But thus is the life of a Swiftie, I suppose.
All right, yeah. In the comments, let me know if you're a Swiftie as well. Last night, Rebecca on our previous podcast, we talked about Mary and I got into our board game habits. So
yes.
We're really going to discover our audience by talking about board games now, Taylor Swift. So.
If all there's right, well, a Taylor Swift board game, can you imagine? That would be crazy.
What would it be of?
Yeah, I don't know.
Go through the career of Taylor Swift. We need her to get to... Oh, she's going to be popular forever, I feel like. She would really have to do something really... I have her ranked as number one right now in my artist rankings. I feel like she's on track to win the artist awards, this whatever the awards are for musical artists. That's not CMAs. What is that called?
There's VMAs, there's Grammys. I think that's separate.
Yeah.
Is that separate or is that the same thing? I don't know.
I'm sure her Midnight's album will put her on. She's number one in my rankings. Where do you have her?
Definitely number one. Yeah. 100%.
Number one. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only followed by Kanye West. That's my number two for obvious reasons.
Yes. Well, we don't have to get it. Do you know Rebecca the whole Kanye and Taylor Swift, like the whole that they hate each other, the feud? Do you know about
all
this?
Didn't they like have a fight?
Yeah. On, he
like
interrupted
what was that, like 10
her...
years ago, 12 years ago?
Yes. Yeah. It was, when was it? I think it was about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was so long ago.
Yeah. But it's
I'm
still
gonna let you finish, but
them.
You don't deserve this award. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, yeah. well, we really dove off the deep end here.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. We'll see you all next time. Bye.